Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff here.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Bros.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk Rumble. Now and live.
Hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast, NXT flavored edition. I am El Fakador Laurie Blake and I'm joined by Adam Blompier. How's it going?
Not bad.
How did you find the finish of NXT this week?
They rustled my jimmies.
Because it could have been a different sort of rustling of your jimmies. It could have been a slight pat on your jimmies because there was different plans in place, apparently, for the finish of the Iron Man match in NXT, which we're going to be discussing in the show, which is happening right about now. The supposed change of plans in what was going to happen basically at the end of the 60-minute Iron Man match on this week's NXT, which I don't know if you've been on the internet today, it hasn't got over particularly well with most people because it ended in a draw. Finn Balor, right at the finish, everyone was tied on one point. Finn Balor, right at the finish, hits a coup de grace and gets a pinfall. In that last 10 seconds, Adam Cole slips in from behind, hits the last shot, flips over Balor, who was being very uncooperative, returning over right at the last second. A very fast three count happens and the two draw. William Regal comes out and is like, oh no, stop your fighting. We'll decide this very easily next week. You two will have a singles match. First fall wins the thing. And everyone was like, Adam Cole was like, I want this. That's fine. Yeah.
All right, Dumbledore.
Cool. Yeah. Right.
You shall war games.
But that is essentially what happened. But apparently, the original plan, I can't remember who said this. This was according to Dave Meltzer, I think. But I will double check that.
I think.
Was it WrestleVotes? Okay, so WrestleVotes said that was one of the proposed plans. The other finish they proposed was that Balor would win because Pat McAfee would run down and interfere, costing Adam Cole the title. Maybe it wasn't even that. Maybe that wasn't even the finish. Maybe it was any of the other guys could have won it then. But Pat McAfee was going to cost Adam Cole. Obviously, greatest wrestler of the year, Pat McAfee. It would be a pleasure
Sorry,
to see him.
Be careful.
It would be a pleasure to see him run down and interfere in a 60-minute match that I've invested in. But yes, that's not what happened. What actually happened was, you're a wizard, Bebe. Someone's just super chatted. What actually happened was a draw. How do you feel, Adam, about the draw? How do you feel about, would you have preferred Pat McAfee to run down and cost Adam Cole, thus setting up the rebound, the rubber match that everyone's been talking about?
It's a real Sophie's choice, isn't it? What would you like in your sandwich, mud or excrement? Mud, I suppose. Although, no, probably mud. I run the risk of the thumbs down, Laurie. I'm afraid of giving my opinion. Although no. I do actually think it's probably the opinion that's shared by a lot of people, which is that I don't mind draws in Iron Man matches. Like, you know, we predicted last week it was going to be 1-1-1 until right to the very end, and they almost did that with Balor. The precedent is there. If it's a draw, you do sudden death right then and there. That's just like, that's the rules that you've set, WWE. There's not my rules. They're yours, goddammit. It's waiting a week. It's the naked ratings ploy.
Oh, yeah.
It's I get it. I get it.
We're having Super Tuesday, Adam.
Super Tuesday. On Super Tuesday too. You and you are gonna fight. It's fine. Like, they're running unopposed, aren't they? Do they need? It's such a transparent ratings grab after an hour of watching an Iron Man match, which is mostly good. I have my issues, especially with like kind of the final 2 minutes.
This is the problem with Iron Man matches as well, right? Like, it does all come down to the final couple of minutes, and that you stack that to make that really exciting. But that it ending in a draw feels like an hour of our time was kind of wasted. I'm not saying it was a complete waste of time. It was obviously a very good match, very well put together. It kept my interest throughout. I just feel like, for their benefit as NXT, I think a solution would have been better too. Like someone walking out the champion is way more newsworthy than everyone kicking off that the finish was a draw. And then we had to go into, like, we're all getting this very obvious ratings ploy for next week. I don't know. It's just, I really struggle because I just do think when you do these bad finishes, and this felt like an NXT match with a very WWE finish, you do just kind of overshadow a lot of the work that goes into it. And like, I'm not a wrestler, but I imagine doing 58 minutes of work is very hard in wrestling. And then to have it kind of squandered by the final 2 minutes is a bit of a shame.
Thank you, Luke. Hang on a second. Get rowdy. Time to do the thing. Because here's the thing. I do want to say now that by and large, I really enjoyed the Iron Man match. It's only because I'm probably going to spend the next 20 minutes complaining about it. But overall, good telly that. Exciting. First half, you know, bit boilerplate, bit feeling out. But there were moments in the last 20 minutes, in the last 5 minutes, that I thought were genuinely white knuckle stuff. Oh, I've been, give me a yes, please. That's Luke's new thing. Let's get a yes, please in the comments. There we are. Lots of people saying yes, please. Love the air horn. Thanks, Luke. Miss you every day, bud. Although you have your job back. So welcome back.
We've been keeping out of the meetings, though, because, you know, that's what Mr. Davis is about.
Apparently, yeah. Luke, burials of Luke will continue until morale improves. I think... So good. Overall good. What do you think overall to the match quality, Laurie?
I mean, how could it not be good? The people in the match are great. Like, my major issues... I just think Ciampa looked a bit rubbish throughout most of this match. I really like, you know, I think last week did such a good job of setting Ciampa up as this monstrous heel character. And then to watch him in this match was like cut and paste Ciampa. It was any Ciampa match. There was that brilliant tear he did like in the last 20 minutes where he took everyone out and got himself the big round of applause. And they worked over his knee for so long. And then he was limping and, you know, really built into the finale where he was fighting back. But that kind of felt like babyface kind of fire for him. I know he was beating people up and chucking them round, but that felt kind of like the Ciampa who was trying to win Goldie back when he returned from injury, not vicious, I'm going to basically murder Jake Atlas, Ciampa. And, you know, like, there was that obviously brief moment where he did the move, that same spot to Johnny in this match. And that was what was leading into the victory, basically, for what, the supposed victory for Ciampa, where he was about to pin him in the center of the ring. And that's when Balor comes flying in. But yeah, I just would have liked to see more fire from him and like a bit more in the match, because it worked when people kind of teamed up to take him down, and everyone had their go at putting him in a figure four or in some sort of leg submission and had him hobbling around. But yeah, it felt for like that first half an hour, he wasn't anything special. And I think last week they've tried to make him really special. The rest of the match, though, I do think the spots were great.
He came into the match kind of white hot. I think it kind of, this kind of bleeds into my kind of main argument, I think, with the match, is that I actually don't mind waiting a week to have the match so much. It's just the wrong match. Balor versus Cole is so one-sided. I don't want to wait a week for Balor Cole. That will be a good match. I know that these are two of the best wrestlers in the world. It's just that no one, probably not even Cole himself, wants Adam Cole to be the champion, because he's just come off the longest reign ever. So no one is feeling that. Mm. So to me, the only reason why they would put Cole in that position is because they're going to do McAfee next week.
Yeah,
that is the only reason to have Cole in the match, because otherwise it should 100% be Balor versus Ciampa. Because Balor can play face. Like, he's been, like, of all of them in the match, him and Cole are the tweeners. Ciampa was definitely a heel. And I don't think it was right that he played a tweener going into during this match. I think that really muddied things. Because, you know, he took Jake Atlas was in a neck brace, he DDT'd him onto the outside floor. He's a heel. Whereas Finn Balor has sort of been giving respect to Damian Priest and, you know, fighting off attacks from Timothy Thatcher. So he's the face in this match, which would, you know, then make Ciampa, like, imagine if Balor got, like, Adam Cole hits the last shot on Johnny Gargano. Then out of nowhere comes Balor. He pins Cole. And then out of nowhere comes Ciampa with something horrible, like, you know, like a bottle or a chair or like a nightstick, and
his
just
knee,
like,
brace,
his, like, knee, you know, brace, Laurie, they're perfect. And then he's the one who gets that last minute little knife in the ribs pinfall, and then you have Balor versus Ciampa way up there, because no one knows who's going to win that as well.
And then you've got a little bit of jeopardy as well, because it's like, you know, Balor talks a good game, he talks about the push, the big push all the time, but
the big push,
he's got to go up against actual murderer Ciampa in a match, and you could go into that with a really strong dynamic. I think Balor Cole is something, one, we've seen that, you know, went to a bit of a funny finish anyway, and like, I think we're going to get another funny finish here, and it feels like a foregone conclusion that Balor's going to win. I don't feel like I need to wait a week to see Finn Balor recrowned NXT champion. I like the idea of Finn as the NXT champion. Like, I really like it. I like the idea of that version of Ciampa from last week as the champ way more, so much more. And yeah, I don't know how we get him back to that position without just this feeling like a bit of damage to him, because it was just that he didn't carry on that fire from last week. He didn't carry, like, the momentum that he built in the Jake Atlas beatdown, not even in the match. The match was over before anything really happened. Like, all that stuff with Jake Atlas, everything he sort of like did to him felt kind of undone by him not really feeling special in this match, and they could have done a bit more. Like, because I think everyone else played their character really well. Like, Johnny sneaking in and stealing his victory by chucking Ciampa out of the ring and stealing that pinfall to get his first one. But that just made Ciampa feel like a baby face. Ciampa then very quickly fights back into getting his pinfall back, and that felt quite baby facey as well. Like, I don't know, like, more could have been done to really build on those characters. And yeah, I don't mind a draw. I love a draw if it's done correctly and it's done like in a match where I haven't invested quite so much time to not get a finish. Like, I was really hyped for this match, and to come out of it like going, oh, there's a new champion, and this is the future for NXT, and this is the direction they're going in, and that's really exciting. And then, you know, I kind of I saw the thumbnail that we'd made for this video before I'd watched the episode. And I was like, oh, okay, I know what happens. And then I would just sort of watch a match being like, wow, this is a bit of a waste of my time. So
yeah. It's one of those things, like, I think with a slight tweaking, with it being Balor Ciampa, I feel like I wouldn't necessarily mind waiting a week because it is a coin flip between those two. Mm-hmm. It's not a coin flip. So if you're going to do Balor Cole, I feel like just run it at the end of the show.
Yeah.
I just do it because we know it's Balor. And again,
you could also have crowned Balor this week. You could have done something like Balor and Cole get out ahead of the pack, right? And they're the ones that are tied going into the finish, and Johnny and Ciampa are stepping up their game, trying all these dirty tricks in order to get pinfalls, and they're sort of gaining momentum. But Balor ekes out at the end and gets that one pin extra than Cole, and Cole then uses the fact that he was just one point behind, and maybe Ciampa cheated or Johnny cheated to sort of take Cole out of the game. And he says, look, I was literally a point behind Finn. Give me a title match next week. And then you can just do the title match next week.
Yeah.
Like there's so many ways to build a title match. It just doesn't have to be like, and wait 1 week for the final conclusion.
I wish when WWE were debuting a new style of stip that they didn't always try and get overly cute straight away. I mean, they did in the first bloody Iron Man match they ever did. It went to a draw and then it ended like 5 minutes later. You know, it's just like, that's not... They introduce a stip which has an appeal, and then they go with booking that swerves that appeal. It's what they like the Iron Man match, you know, 60 minutes, we're going to see so many falls. It's great. And then you never see a single one. The first ever women's Money in the Bank match. You're like, oh, great. This is going to be brilliant. Oh, it's won by James Ellsworth.
A man won it. Never see it coming.
You'll never see it coming. And then this time, the first ever four-way Iron Man match. Oh, the best wrestlers in the world. We're going to see so many falls. Oh, no, it's going to be a draw right up until the end when it's another draw. It's just like... I get it. Like when you've done loads of a stipulation, then you can get cute with it. But I feel like the big selling point of this NXT was this cool first time ever thing. And then it's just like, no, that's not what you're going to get. You're going to get half an hour feeling out process. Everyone gets a fall each in the next 20 minutes. And then you have a weirdly paced kind of 5 minutes where some of it is amazing, like super kicks all over the place. And then you have a final minute where for some reason, Tommaso Ciampa, your white hot heel, can't get his ass in gear to try and get a pinfall off Johnny Gargano until the last 10 seconds. That was the thing that annoyed me the most. You got to book the last 2 minutes of your Iron Man match so well, because once you get into like 5 minute territory, it's unbelievable if everyone isn't working overdrive. Like you're running on crazy adrenaline because, oh Christ, time's running out. We have to go now. But pin as many people as you can. And it's the fact that Ciampa, the one person going into this match with the most psychotic fixation on the belt, was very slowly getting Johnny Gargano up to the top rope. Punch. It's like, that's not the champion.
Drake comes over, tells him the time, punch again. Drake comes over, also tells him the time, punch again. Like they started that spot too early, basically, that climb, and they had to slow that right down. And that's a shame because it's like, yeah, it could have been something. They could have had a more elegant solution to getting up there in the first place, I guess. Like, you know, Johnny could have climbed to do a jump and like hit someone, and they could have knocked him down, and then Ciampa could have dealt with that other person, ran up there and immediately done the air raid crash or something. Like it really did clunk at that finale. And then, yeah, to add insult to injury, you sort of do this wasn't a finish. And William Regal, surprisingly, is there within 10 seconds to be like, well, no, you know, I know he was probably there to
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Do you like wrestling? Do you like improv? Do you like role-playing games? And you'll love No Roles Barred, presented by the WrestleTalk Podcast Network. Six players come together to create a fictional wrestling promotion, roll dice, and create the kind of insanity that real companies can only dream of creating. Can Tony the Milkman survive the twilight of his career and still find time to care for his wrestling son? Can the Denimatrix overcome the vicious Apex and achieve total denimation? Can brothers Golden Joe and Silver Bro coexist as a tag team before they combust? Find out now with the wrestling show that everyone's talking about. No Roles Barred is available wherever you get your podcasts and only presented on the WrestleTalk Podcast Network.
Let's draw a line under the finish for now, and we'll come back. We'll circle back around and talk about the match a little bit more towards the end of the podcast as we go through the show in order. But for now, let's do some super chats and see what you lot have been saying about this match. So, in regards to the changed plans and the finish for the four-way match, Kevin says, I liked the main event. I liked the finish. I didn't like the consequences of the finish. It should have either been a four-man tournament, the finals next week, or overtime. That's unfortunate. I agree with that. Christian
is overtime straight away. Literally every single time that's happened in an Iron Man match, you do it straight away. Like, it wouldn't. If this was the precedent that you wait a week, I don't think people would be as annoyed. Probably a bit annoyed. 60 minutes, right? Mm-hmm. But the precedent is there. Follow your own rules, WWE.
Christian Baltimore says, thought the Iron Man match was a really good NXT match with a bad WWE finish. Where I stole that line from earlier. Peter Mullins says, you're a wizard, baby. Just do it with the wands.
Oh, God. Explode.
The line drive says, worth noting that there has never been a fatal four-way Iron Man match in WWE. By that, traditional overtime doesn't really work. To me, next week is like PKs after a last-second goal in stoppage time, penalty kicks. I just think waiting a week for that conclusion didn't need to happen. Like, if you need a title match to make next week feel special, just say that they're going to do a title match. Like, just make up a reason that happened in the Iron Man match to give you that title match. Like, have someone come out and take Balor out, and he could be like, oh, well, Cole won the title, but the Undisputed Era actually interfered and stopped me from winning. And then you've got a match. William Regal makes the matches. He can do that. He would be there. The Jam 1, Ryan B. Jam, for the last says, I haven't watched the match yet, but if Cole got pinned more than Balor, then shouldn't that count as well? And that is an interesting point, because Cole did get pinned three times?
Pretty much by everyone. Everyone pinned Cole at least once.
Yeah, so Cole actually, you don't want to book a match in which you go that deep into the stats to have to resolve it. Like, I don't think that's going to be a very... It's not very exciting for the audience. I also don't think a draw is very exciting for the audience. And I just, that's how I wouldn't book a wrestling show in which your audience is going, oh man, like I know what you're doing. You're trying to make me watch next week. I would book it so that something exciting happens and then you do a post-match angle that makes people want to watch next week. That's like the classic trick, right? Like have a definitive winner of this match and then do something that's going to set up something exciting for next week that people want to see resolved. And whether that's a heel turn or a face turn for somebody, or whether that's somebody coming out and getting into the new champion's face to set up a championship match next week, whatever it is, just going wait a week for the conclusion of this match is a little bit lame, I think. Yeah. Let us, right, so we'll start whizzing through the rest of the show and then we'll talk about the Iron Man match again at the end and we can talk about some of the best spots from it rather than harping on about how the finish sucked. So the show opened with Legado del Fantasma versus Breezango and Isaiah Swerve Scott in a street fight, which meant there were ladders and chairs and bins and all that other lovely wrestling goodness scattered around. I thought this was great. This was a lot.
Loved it.
These guys have all been, you know, these six guys have been working together quite a lot on NXT recently. And that really shows because they've really sort of found their stride. I love the start of the match as well as Breezango and Swerve are making their entrance. They get onto the apron and Mendoza just pops up and jumps over Wild and hits this leapfrog drop kick to knock them off. And then they lobbed Joaquin Wild. They absolutely chucked him out of the
almost
ring.
Too far. Yeah. A little bit too much of a fastball special. He almost missed the boys outside. Yeah. Like, careful now. A little roughhousing.
There was loads of good stuff in this. One of my favorite bits was Fandango helicoptering the ladder in the center of the ring and just spinning the whole time. Like, everyone else sort of does it and looks for a target and then spins into it. But he just span round and let people run into it like lemmings they were. They were just like getting up and being like, oh, ladder.
Gotta say, man, like they really screwed us with one of those ad breaks. Did they just not tell the people in the ring that they were doing an ad break? Because during, like, I think maybe even the first ad break of the show, there was a triple trash compactor and a table bump during the ad break. It's like, oh, I'm sorry that we had to watch the Shaq-a-roni ad.
You gotta get your stuff in, mate.
I really like the triple trash compactor spot as well. Like, I think it was Breeze who was like in a tree of woe in a trash can, and three of the guys drop kicking it at the same time. That's cool. Would have loved to have seen it. Say with a table bump. But like the thing is, there was so much good S word in this match that you kind of don't begrudge them after that, because yeah, there's some real fun stuff.
I mean, yeah, I think they struggled with the ad placements throughout this episode of NXT. The Iron Man match definitely had some of the really good stuff happened in the ad break, and they never really went back and recapped it. So it did make it quite hard to follow. But yeah, this match was great. I think all of these guys click really well in ring. But Imperium basically arrive somewhere in the middle as Breeze gets knocked outside. They chuck him around and beat him down in the ring, teaming up with Legado del Fantasma. But they don't notice that a forklift has driven in, bearing Breeze and Fandango, who do double rolling sentons off the top into everyone. And then as everyone's outside, Breezango dive off the turnbuckles to the outside, hitting cross bodies, and then Swerve nails Escobar with his finisher and pins him for the win. He then climbs up the forklift to celebrate. I think this was clearly meant to make Swerve look like a star and like the next big contender for that cruiserweight championship. Good all round. I really like this. Like, continue something with him, brings Imperium back into the mix to sort of set something up with Breezango, probably sets up another triple threat between all those teams, which I think would be really like, which would be good. And then Swerve versus Escobar, I'm really excited for. Like, you know, Escobar didn't do his mask spot though in this match, which I would have liked to have seen again. I think it's a good thing to start getting over properly.
It's, considering that the chief selling point of this episode is the four-man Iron Man match, they did not need to give us this. Like, they didn't need to go as fun or as hard as they did here. You didn't need to do a forklift spot in an episode that everyone was already tuning into anyway. Mm-hmm. But that was, it just felt very generous, possibly because they knew how the episode was ending.
They were just like, We're going to front load this. That's what the forklift's for, front loading. It's going to front load this episode with great stuff in the hopes that you forget at the ending. We then got a Candice LeRae and Tegan Knox package in which mostly Tegan was talking about Candice turning darker when she tried the Gargano way, and talked about like their friendship and showed loads of images and stuff like that, and saying that, you know, Tegan was really playing up the idea that she's like, we're sisters. I'd love to sit down and chat about this over with a glass of wine, which seems to be a line they're obsessed with. And it was just like watching all that stuff where it's like, we've been teaming on NXT house shows. We did the whole circuit together. We've been great friends. It's like, that's brilliant. But we never saw any of that on TV because you were busy being best friends with Dakota Kai.
You were Dakota Kai's friend.
Yeah. And so like and I know they're real friends in real life. And that's fine. But this just feels like, it kind of feels like they're lying to us when they're saying that now, because it's we just never saw them interact ever.
They're pretending like it was somehow kind of codified into each other's character. You know, like, oh, we're destined to do this. You know, because like, oh, all the memories we've shared, which we're only just bringing up now. Io was Candice's friend. Dakota Kai was Tegan Knox's friend. And it just feels like, it feels like they're kind of filling in the gaps now, which is to be honest, if they weren't doing it, it would feel even more hollow. So I'm glad that they are. And I'm just hoping because a dinner is coming, and I really hope it's a really silly Game of Thrones style dinner. Let's just say I don't want to jump ahead too much in the chronology of the episode, but it's fine. It was fine last week and the week before that. Let's do another thing now where you stop reminiscing about how he used to be friends.
Yeah. And again, this whole we're sisters were sorted out over a glass of wine. It's like, she's not done anything. Candice hasn't done anything terrible to Tegan particularly, but Candice has been a bit of a tear. But I don't know how Tegan could be sitting there being like, I think this will be resolved with a glass of, like, my last friendship really resolved with a glass of wine. Me and Dakota really sorted it out. So, you know, I think it will work with Candice. it feels dumb. It's a shame. So we then got Candice LeRae actually having a match. So the notion was that she'd seen Tegan's promo, and then she comes out for a match with Casey Catanzaro, Soz Casey, and Caden Carter, which was a fine little bit. Casey Catanzaro is cool and should be getting more than this, because she does some really unique, interesting stuff. She's obviously very gymnastically talented.
Future star, for sure.
It's so weird, though, because they made such a big deal about getting her as well, and then they've just used her as fodder, and that's dragged Caden Carter into being fodder as well. And they just... Both of them are completely directionless, but they are friends, and that is what they were here for, to be friends in front of Candice.
They have a tag team entrance sort of thing, you know, pulling you up into like a sort of sitcom, or like, you know, like those rom-com posters where people are sort of leaning back to back. That's what they kind of got going on. So they feel more,
both absolutely minute.
Yeah, they're teeny.
Like Borowitz doing it.
they feel like the kind of friends that they keep telling us that Tegan Knox and Candice LeRae are, because at least they're doing stuff together.
Yeah, exactly. We've seen them interact on TV. The first time Candice LeRae and Tegan Knox interacted on TV was when Tegan surprise returned from injury. And rather than have Tegan make her return like in front of fans, or return like to surprise Dakota, say, in a moment of victory, Tegan just walked into a backstage shot that Candice was already in, and she was like waving, and then they hugged. And that was like Tegan's big return. It was so downplayed. And now it's like, yeah, they're best friends. And it's like, okay, we've seen them on screen together like two times. Fine. Anyway, Candice finishes the match with her new submission thing where she ties up the legs and she pulls the arms back, and then she just stomps their face into the floor, and then she pins them.
She just killed her.
It was great. Like, it works really well on someone who's kind of diminutive and cute, like Casey Catanzaro as well, because it's kind of shooting the puppy kind of thing. Like, it's I really like Candice's new character. Post-match, she cuts a promo. She says she heard what Tegan has to say, and then she's just watched Casey and Caden's friendship coming out to this ring, and obviously she then stomped on Casey's head. She says, if you want to talk things over, you want to hash it out, swing by my house. Dinner is on me. I'm interested to see what they do with this dinner. Ladders everywhere in that house, obviously, left out from changing the light bulb 6 weeks ago.
Put your ladder away, Johnny. You're giving me anxiety.
Filthy jock strap on the table.
I hope it's a mugging. I really hope it's like a proper little sit-down dinner, and then it's just tables turn, like she goes through the dining table. Proper, yeah, like someone said it in the comments, give us a Game of Thrones red wedding. Yes, please. Give us red dinner. That is what will turn the temperature of this feud up. A proper iconic little bit of healing. Really, really hoping. Come on over to my place. Dinner's on me. And you never saw Tegan again.
She's been, yeah, horrible. Rhea Ripley then cut a promo on Mercedes Martinez saying, I thought you got the message when I powerbombed you onto the concrete, but clearly you didn't. I don't want you and the Robert Stone brand in my business. I do want a match, though, but not a normal match. I want a steel cage match. Yeah.
Yeah, up for that. That, please. Can I have it now?
Yeah, honestly. No, Super Tuesday 2. Wait. Sorry. You must wait for all the conclusions happen on Super Tuesday. We then got Bronson Reed versus Timothy Thatcher. Bronson Reed rebranded as the Colossal Bronson Reed.
Oh, his entrance video. Oh, it's good. I love it. Proper, like, has Luke Owen seen this? He loves a kaiju.
He does, yeah.
It's very, very good. That I think genuinely sort of like final piece of the puzzle stuff. Like, I was like properly leaning in. What a wonderful bit of effects.
I think his character was, yeah, like you said, like really missing that final push, like something that added to him. Before, he was just like the thick boy thing wasn't working for me. Like, I think it was getting over, but it didn't really have enough to hang on. And I think being like, no, I'm like a kaiju, I'm a powerful monster. And it had bits of that in the original gimmick. The stomping on the steps and the claw thing were clearly meant to signify that as well. But like, I think just hammering that home with him really does add something to his character.
Yeah. Thick Boy was a bit cutesy, a bit kind of Miley Cyrus.
Mm.
Hang on, I can't do that. I can't. Is that how you do it?
I don't know. It's disgusting. Put it away.
I've had coffee. It's got a bit. Sorry.
I know it wasn't. It was the noise. It was the
the ASMR sort of.
Again, like, sorry for podcast listeners. Don't do it. It's the big push. So I've got you. We've done this enough time. We've done this dance enough times. The match was pretty good with Thatcher, actually. Timothy was really there.
He
we
does.
Go.
He does blind you. He also loves.
So Thatcher. Sorry.
Hang on. There we go.
Good stuff. Thatcher basically zoned in on the forearm of Bronson Reed. Bronson Reed is the new best kaiju, Luke says. We need a big robot that's combined of other wrestlers to battle him.
We need a Voltron. Who would be a good Voltron? Like Drake Maverick, Casey Catanzaro, they can all be a different limb of this new
I would Voltron. Just do that. I'd just do the Undisputed Era, but centered, like connected to William Regal.
Or just like he's in the middle, like Krang, just sort of.
Yeah, like, exactly. Like, and they're all the limbs. One limb keeps shooting up into the air and saying, "Adam Cole, baby."
Oh, having a great time, bloody lovely time with the boys, getting rowdy. Give me a yes, please. Sorry, carry on.
It's all right. Don't worry. the most of the match was, as you would expect, Bronson Reed throwing Timothy Thatcher around and Timothy Thatcher attempting to work over the injured forearm of Bronson Reed. Reed does this crazy huge dive to the outside, but as he chucks Thatcher back in to go and pin him, Austin Theory arrives, slams Reed's face into the mat and then chucks him back in. And then, Thatcher chucks him back in, gets him in this big arm lock. They have a little fight and then it ends up into a Fujiwara armbar and Reed taps. So 10 seconds after being rebranded and being called the Colossal Bronson Reed, he's lost to Timothy Thatcher, which is fine because it's setting up something with Austin Theory, who I'm assuming he is going to crush.
Two feuds advanced here, Bronson versus Theory and Thatcher versus Priest.
Priest.
Oh, good. Well done.
Yeah, this is all good stuff. It was like... I think their styles meshed well. Like, it didn't feel crazy that Timothy Thatcher managed to pull out the victory on Bronson Reed. I think the Austin Theory thing helped. I think the clever working over of the arm, like, I really like Thatcher's in-ring style. Like, it's slow, sure, but he does make every single submission look like it actually hurts. And he just keeps putting him on. I think that's the best bit about him. He just like, okay, well, you got out of that one. Have another one. Here's a different one. And it's always different. It's always iterating on, like, here's a different way to tangle your arm up behind your back and make you scream. Like, he's great. He's so good. We then got to see Cole and that lot getting ready for the main event. Ciampa backstage as well doing that. Then we got Mercedes Martinez confirming that she would indeed be up for a cage match. Yes, effing please. I want to see that. I want to see that incredibly badly. And we get to see that next week on Super Tuesday. So that is great. A good reason to watch NXT on Tuesdays. How do you find watching NXT on Tuesday, actually, before we go into talking about the main event again?
Suits me, pal. Like, Thursdays is a nightmare having to do that as well. It gives us a chance to be live with the fans. Love the fans. Hi, fans. I kind of prefer doing this live because then you get to do air horns and stuff. I won't. That's too easy a setup for it. I'll do an air horn when you're not expecting it. Mm-hmm. How do you like doing it live?
Not falling for it. You're gonna,
I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm waiting for you because you're going to start saying what I think of the thing and you're going to play the air horn.
That's not true.
That is entirely true.
Do you like doing it live, Laurie?
Yes. So the match.
Sorry. Okay. That's the last time.
What was your favorite spot in the match?
The Iron Man match?
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like, I like some elements of the scramble towards the end. Mm-hmm. Gargles stealing the pin was really, really fun. There wasn't a lot of, like, you got the Tower of Doom spot, you've got all that jazz. Everyone in the first half an hour just got a turn to have the momentum. First Ciampa, then Balor, then Gargano, and then Cole. Like, they all got to do a thing. It was like towards the end where you saw, like, the double widow's bell to Cole and Gargano in the fairy tale ending. Like, everyone pinning Cole, I thought was a really kind of fun story, because I thought they were going to kind of play with maybe there's a weakness there and that might spill out into Undisputed Era stuff, which may happen next week. Ciampa going on a tear. I really like Gargano going on a tear. Like, everyone did their stuff. It was like, I enjoyed, him doing the thing, the slingshot. The most memorable spot to me was him doing the slingshot to Johnny, going in, Cole breaks it up, he takes care of Cole. Balor breaks it up, he takes care of Balor, and he takes care of Cole. And then he tries to hit it, then the kick out. Like, it's like, that was really, really, oh no, sorry, no. He goes out and gets rid of Balor and Cole, and then Gargano pops up for an inside cradle for a really convincing fall. I think that was probably my favorite, but that was a bit of, like, they probably, like, oh, they really, really got me.
Yeah, and then I was sucked you in on that point, right?
And then I was taken out of it again by the fact that it wasn't quite moving with enough urgency in the last 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm. There was a load of little fun bits in this as well. And that, like, unfortunately, a lot of them happened in the break. There was a bit in which Johnny gets the Cole goes in for a last shot, and Ciampa keeps catching his leg to stop him running away to hit the last shot. And Johnny runs in from behind Cole and hits the tilt-a-whirl into the Gargano escape, the sort of tilt-a-whirl slam. And then Ciampa grabs Balor as he runs in to attempt to break that up and gets the armbar, which is the old DIY spot
during the break.
And it was happening in the, like, you know, and imagine, like, in front of an audience, like, everyone knows what that means. Like, this is what they use to beat the Revival. That's quite a poignant little bit of wrestling that just was chucked under the sort of like, oh, well, that happened in a break. They didn't even call back to it. And then you get Cole and Balor chucking both Johnny and like Johnny and Ciampa had this face off coming back from the break, and they're in the center of the ring and like from out of shot. And this, I think this was really well filmed. Cole and Balor just appear and chuck both the guys out, and then they're in the center of the ring. And Cole throws up a two sweet.
Yes, that was good.
And Balor really hits a two sweet with him and then chucks him out of the ring. And this is where Balor builds to his pinfall. Like Balor hits a two sweet, chucks Cole out, shotgun drop kicks Ciampa into the timekeeper's area, nails Cole and Gargano as well with a shotgun drop kick into the barricade, chucks Cole in, hits the coup de grace and gets the point. That was so cool. That was just like, yeah, no, okay. Yeah, we were both in the Bullet Club, but I'm the originator. And off I go. I think that was a really good little bit of storytelling. Like, I'm hoping they pick up on that stuff next week if they're having, you know, I think there's obviously history between these two that happened outside of NXT. There's loads of stuff to do with them.
Tell you what, speaking of stuff they did in the break, there was, I was just making my notes. There was a really nice thing, which was Ciampa, again, a little fun moment for him, which got kind of swallowed up by, Cricket Wireless. Ciampa hits Project Ciampa to Cole, which is broken up by Gargano. Then he hits Project Ciampa on Gargano, which is broken up by Balor. Then he hits it on Balor, who finally, you think he's going to get a pinfall, but Balor actually kicks out after a really close two. Again, all during the picture-in-picture. And it's just like, come on, guys. You're killing me.
Couldn't you have stacked the picture-in-picture in the first 10 minutes when it was mostly one-on-ones and chops? Like, that's when I would have put all the picture-in-picture stuff.
Also, this is really well, actually, of me, but they made a big point of there being no disqualifications, and there kept being rope breaks. And like, literally, the commentary actually said, oh, well, they're going to know that there's no such thing as a rope break in a match with no disqualifications. And then later on, I think it was... Balor had Ciampa in a Boston Crab and like just got to the ropes and he just immediately let go. It's like, come on, guys. Because the Gargano escape, because they did a really nice thing later on in the match where I think Gargano had Cole in the Gargano escape, which is obviously a callback to TakeOver New York, which is how he won the belt in the first place. Mm-hmm. But Ciampa actually pulls them both out of the ring. It's just like, yeah, do stuff like that. It's just like...
And this came right after the DIY superkick. He was going to go for the DIY superkick, and then Cole dodges, misses a last shot, which is, that's all stuff they've done in their previous match.
Mm, really good stuff. And it's just like that little isolated moments of wonder, but also some inconsistencies, which is, hey, man, producing a Iron Man match must be really hard, especially a fatal four-way. Bloomin' heck, lads. You really set yourself up for a difficult time of things.
I would love to. I would really love to see a Fatal 4-Way Iron Man match in which it wasn't like, I know we said it was going to probably be a draw right up until the end, and then someone would come out on top. That's all well and good. I would love to see the dynamic in which someone was lagging behind and having to make up ground, and like whether they were positioned as an underdog or a menace to the rest of the sort of. The rest of the field, because they'd sort of realized they were too far behind to ever really make it back. So they turned extra vicious or whatever it was, or threw away points on disqualifications and stuff like that. You know, I think there's room in the match for it not to be so even, because that a little bit of dynamic would have changed this match. I think every interaction felt on the same level, because you're just like, well, anyone gets a pinfall, it matters a lot, which is a clever idea.
They were going to do that with Ciampa, because he was the last one to get a pinfall, and I thought, oh, that's perfect, because he's the one who wants it the most and he just can't, and every time he tries, and I just like, oh, it's going to ramp up. Oh no, he's tied it up with like 20 minutes ago.
That's it. Yeah, because you could like, you know what, you want to, you're making Ciampa look like a baby face here. What you could have done is have Ciampa not get any pinfalls for the whole match. Everyone else is 2 points ahead of him, and he do the Project Ciampa spot that you said earlier, where he pins them and they all break it up, but have him just pin them all. He just hits every single one of them with Project Ciampa, and one by one gets three pins at the end of the match. Like, I think that there'd be something more fun, because I think they do just rely too heavily on the idea of it being a draw for so much of the match to drag that tension out into the last couple of minutes. And I think you can have moments of, you can have bursts, fits and starts of tension throughout, in which someone starts to really lag behind, and you can have a bleak 10 minutes in which they're quite behind and they can bring it back, and then they can fall, they can get ahead, but the person might cheat for the last 10 minutes. I think it's those ebbs and flows that would really help sustain the interest. Not that these guys didn't sustain interest. I just think they just did it through They instead did it through very clever spots and good wrestling. But so many of the, I think the fun nods and the stuff that I, you know, I really value as an NXT viewer happened in the break, right? Like, you know, sure, I love seeing people do a load of super kicks, but I really like a too sweet. And I really love it. I really love a callback to old DIY stuff. Like that's the stuff I really value. And they peppered that throughout the match. But yeah, the production of it kind of let them down on that side. But it still sets up what I think is going to be a good match next week. I think next week's Super Tuesday 2 is going to be a lot of fun. You know, we've got Rhea Ripley versus Mercedes Martinez in a steel cage. Yes, bloody please. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we've got Cole versus Balor. And hopefully we're going to get a actual victor in that match. And we're going to get a new NXT champion. I'm hoping it's Balor, even if we have to have the return of Pat McAfee in order to get there.
We may get Thatcher versus Priest. That hasn't been confirmed yet, I don't think. But yeah, there's a lot of potentially really good matches.
We could also get Swerve versus Santos Escobar, most likely. They really like featuring them on these bigger shows. So yeah,
lots of in-ring to look forward to. I can't help but imagine like what the world would be like if we were waiting for for Balor versus Ciampa. I am intrigued to see how they don't put the belt on Cole. Because obviously he's doing his face turn. Balor sort of is as well. Obviously, there is the report from WrestleVotes that Pat McAfee was supposed to get involved this week. That may be next week. Maybe it's something to do with the Undisputed Era instead. Maybe they might just swerve everyone who's expecting it to be put on Balor by putting it on Cole, which is the least good idea, I think. It's interesting.
They love a swerve at this exact moment in time, don't they? They do love a swerve, NXT.
Yeah.
Well, let's go through Super Chats, because I think ultimately this was still a very good episode of NXT. There was a very dodgy 90 seconds towards the end. But overall, the opening matches were brilliant. The Iron Man match, I think, over-delivered in terms of interactions between the four biggest stars in NXT right now. And it's just a shame that we didn't get a proper conclusion to it. But, you know, if you're going to take it as a two-parter with next week's match, that's kind of fine. It just feels a shame to wait for what feels like a fairly inevitable conclusion. Whatevs. Super Chats time. Because Siddharth Online says, Undisputed Era betrays Cole next week.
Maybe. It feels
that
like
Kyle O'Reilly singles push.
Well, that feels like it's slightly at odds, isn't it? Like, because, yeah, what's going to happen there? Because Kyle O'Reilly looks like he's getting a little bit of a face turn, whereas the other two are definitely heel. So can they then cement their heel turn by going off as a two? And then Kyle O'Reilly and Adam Cole are going to team up against them? Who knows? It's interesting.
Yeah, it's definitely something for them to do if you're sort of moving Adam Cole away from the NXT Championship picture. And I imagine he's not going to go for the North American title anytime soon. Working out what to do with Adam Cole seems to be NXT's biggest quandary. Andre Banks says, won't mind Finn versus Cole if we can get Ciampa versus Finn at a takeover rather than have a big build to it. He would rather have a big build to it. I can see that. Like,
I'm expecting Ciampa to not take this well, shall we say. And I think whoever wins that match is going to have a pretty big Ciampa problem. At least they should. Every other thing that they've built with Ciampa's character leads to that. And I hope this takes him to an even darker place.
Bodega Vega says, I wish it was 30 minutes ad-free, tie, and then sudden death. I know, where's Mountain Dew and Progressive when you need them? Like, to come and get rid of our adverts.
Yeah, that would have been nice.
Yeah, I mean, I do really feel like a sudden death would have added it to that climax of that show, because that's fine. Like, I think it's fine to sort of swerve people's expectation of an exciting finish and then be like, but now the exciting finish is actually happening. And you could have even done it with, like, anyone can win the sudden death, like any of the four, not just Cole and Finn. That could have been quite interesting. Anshu Kamal says, hey folks, how are you? Very well, thank you. I really enjoyed the Iron Man match. I didn't mind the finish, as we know the match next week can be bay. By the way, predicting Prince is winning the match. Hope the ratings are boosted. # jam that jam. Yeah, I mean, if the ratings aren't boosted, then it was all for nothing. They stirred everyone up on social media for no real reason. Owen Mullane, or Owen Mullane, says, if they wanted a title match next week, then the ref should have counted three on the other side of the bell to what he did to give Cole a valid claim. True. Yeah, he was pretty tight on the old three count there.
Oh, I think he made the hand came down while it's still like 1 second left on the clock.
Yeah, but only because he skipped a second in the middle of the count. He really had to compress those 3 seconds into about two, because Finn Balor refused to roll over. Bacon Rasher says, hey lads, do you think instead of Regal saying sudden death, he should have said golden goal? Sorry, football reference, but going for gold. Hashtag Andy's JTJ. Or don't go on about Andy's jam that jam.
Did you know that Andy came up with jam that jam?
He reminds us four times a day that he came up with jam that jam.
Yeah.
He didn't even come up with it. He read it off a man's arm.
Yeah. Like, genuinely, like, you know, we obviously don't want to grass him up, but in the meeting, was it this morning or yesterday? I think it was yesterday, where he was just like, guys, do you ever feel like what the channel might be like if I hadn't invented Jam That Jam? And he meant that sincerely. He was genuinely like, what other Elseworlds? Do you reckon we'd still be in business? It's like, the
would we survive lockdown without Jam That Jam? We never would have seen a Fightful, I guess. So there is that. The incursion of Sean Ross Sapp. So, you know, but then it did bring up, I don't know. Like, it's hard to say. The Phantom Knight 24 says, not sure if this was covered already, but did anyone else notice that it was a four-way heel match? Adam, you're the best.
Oh,
bloody left out,
didn't I? There you go, mate. It was sort of. Like, no, there was no out-and-out babyface. That is true. But I feel like Balor and Cole have been, like, I mean, Cole was the babyface in Cole McAfee. He's still, you know, he's just a babyface with dickish qualities. Like us all here on Wrestle Talk, apart from Luke, who is a white babyface of the purest kind.
Yeah, Luke doesn't have a bad bone in his body, bless him. Louise Marie says, had an absolute S-word day today. You boys never fail to make my days better. Love all of you beyond words.
Thank you very much.
Love you too. Thank you. Date Train. I always say H Train, or is it just Da Train? Da Train 24 says, Adam, you recently spoke of Yung Ling in a video. That beer is only available in the east part of the USA. How'd you come by it? Jam that jam.
Oh, Yung Ling. It was, well, basically, I am a fan in my top 10 videos of saying, of linking entries together by, you know, someone says this and someone else says, hold my beer. And a thing I've enjoyed doing now is looking up where that, the wrestler who's going to say that, looking at where they're from and doing a local beer for them. And Adam Cole is from Philly. And Yingling is a beer that is quite popular in Philly. That's why.
Cool. Hey, Carson Earl says, cool. Fellas, you're going to want that cowbell.
Shut up, Laurie. It is cool. Shut up.
I mean, Harrison's super chat is more relevant than ever there, because it's about wanting cowbell rather than air horn.
Guess what? I got a fever. And the only prescription is
more cowbell.
When we get copyright claimed, you're getting in trouble. Ninad Mahesh says, a surprise Demon Balor would be quite nice for next week. Hashtag Plumpy, hashtag Jam That Jam.
Yes.
I mean, a demon would be quite a cool way to signal that Cole has not got a chance in hell of winning that match. Cool. All right.
Did I get it wrong? No, he's from Lancaster, Pennsylvania. I'm so sorry. I'm sorry to everyone. I said Philly, but he's not. Ooh, he's from Lancaster, which is in south central Pennsylvania. It's not Philly. Sorry, everybody, but it's important. These things are important. Do you think I've ruined the video enough?
Yeah, I think so. We need to just thank our $50 backers on Patreon for being awesome. So we're going to just shout out some names and say thank you. So thank you to Superkick Nick Mazesco. Thank you very much for being a supporter on Patreon. The Craftsman Blake Carpenter. What we need is a backing track of clapping. That's what we need to put into this. I mean, we used to have a bell that we dinged.
I've got some things that make noise, but you probably don't want to hear those again.
Go on then. Wonderwall, Brian Gallagher. That was barely heard that. $100 man, CD Halver, thank you for your support on Patreon. The Rocket, Dan Van Sky. He appreciates music. The Mayor of Painesville, Dan, thank you for your support on Patreon. The Kessel Run, DX Solo, thank you for your support on Patreon. The Hitchhiker, Mika Nab, thank you for your support on Patreon. I wonder if you can get it to just flash the image and not make a noise. WrestleTalk's personal ring announcer, Rodrigo Benitez, thank you for your Patreon. No one names their kid this anymore, Larry. Thank you for your support, Patreon.
Thank you very much.
We'll always mark out for Ollie Landrum and Superkick Party, Andy Buckley. Thank you for your support on Patreon. Sorry if that was quite a stilted delivery on a lot of those. I wasn't sure when Adam was going to press the bell.
I'm intrigued.
Yeah, so there we go. We have a late super chat come in, and we'll just do that, and then we'll get out of here. Anshu Kamal says, have you guys ever tried Indian food and beer?
Oh, yes. We're British. It's weirdly a staple part of our diet. No, I very much love Indian food. It's possibly my favorite takeaway style, I think. Mm-hmm. I've had like tiger beer and stuff, but I wouldn't say I'm a connoisseur of Indian beer.
Cobra. That's the other one. I love Indian food, but I'm not sure we get the full experience over here, really, because we just have tikkas and kormas, and that's it, which I think we were invented for us. So, you know, it's not authentic, but it's close enough.
Do you like quizzes? Do you like wrestling? Do you like watching self-professed experts in their fields being exposed as dangerous frauds? Then you'll love Quizzlemania, brought to you by Parts Funknown, the team behind acclaimed wrestling RPG No Rolls Barred. Join us every week as four wrestling pundits pit their knowledge against each other in a cerebral wrangle for prizes, glory, and a bit of good old-fashioned escapism. Enjoy the videos live every Wednesday on Parts Funknown's YouTube channel, or subscribe right now to have them beam straight to your mobile device. Quizzlemania, it's the showcase of the Immorons.
So, Laurie, mm-hmm. I am starting a new phase in my life, mm-hmm. which as a someone who's played D&D, you might be interested in.
Sure.
So I, as you know, I'm an avid board gamer. I have lots of board games with lots of little bits, these little grey fellas, these little figures, which, you know, they've always struck me as a little bit drab, a little bit uncolourful. So what I'm doing now, like it was my birthday present from my partner, is they got me a painting set to paint miniatures. I cannot wait. Is that something that you have a history in? I know that you're a D&D'sman.
No, I'm not that kind of a dweeb.
Oh, I see.
I'm not gonna paint some minis like a nerd.
Not honestly, craft something with love.
No, we can just pretend that I'm a half elf.
No, I'm the kind of D&D player that just likes to sarcastically comment over whatever NPC is playing, and I just like to burn the village down. Is exactly. You that kind of player, are you?
Hey, how do you know about Plan A? No, we're like I'm very much into it. Like I used to play a bit of Warhammer when I was growing up. I am not a talented artist in any way, shape, or form. My handwriting looks like you've dipped a spider in ink and let it go on the paper. So you can imagine what my drawing and painting skills are like.
You do surprise me because you are covered in tattoos, which suggests that you're sort of like tortured craftsman.
That's why I've paid someone else to do it.
Oh, gotcha.
Because I can't do it. I can come up with the idea, but I can't draw it to save my life. I remember getting for the octopus tattoo on my right arm, I sent in a picture and I was like, yeah, that, but more menacing, because I drew like a little cartoon octopus.
Did you send in like Ursula?
I sent in the like a smiley faced picture of an octopus because that was all I could draw. And then was just like, yeah, can you just make it look badass though?
I wish they'd just done that little smiley one, but just done little lines down its forehead to indicate that it was like evil.
Yeah, I just can't do it. Like I've honestly, I don't think I've ever painted a mini to actually being a standard that I was like, okay, that's finished. I've spray painted a lot of minis to be like, okay, well, that's a base layer. And then I sort of do the first round of coloring. And then I'm like,
you're
cool.
You're the red army. You're the blue army.
Exactly. And I'm just like, cool. What do I do? What do I do with the detail bit? Because I can't be bothered to do multiple washes of stuff. I just want it to just like, just, you know, also buying the paints is really expensive, isn't it? It's a bit of an investment, like especially in Warhammer, where it's like everything is a slight different shade of gold. So it's like you have to be like, I want this specific color, and it's like use four different gold paints to achieve something that looks like gold. And I just don't have the time or the patience or the dexterity. I also find they're too small. And you know, like, do you ever tickle your own fingers?
What?
You know, like if something's really small and you're holding it, like sometimes you don't expect your fingers to touch across the thing and it sort of tickles the inside of your fingers. I drop things a lot. I don't know.
Are you all right?
No, I'm not all right. I can't do crafts. It's just a thing I can't do.
Well, the thing is, like, I love puzzles, and like everything that you kind of don't like about it, they're all things that tick my boxes. Like I am a compulsive, like whenever I get into a hobby, I overbuy stuff. Like that's how I got over 100 board games. Like I got mad into the hobby and just kept buying stuff. And so like that's something that just appeals to my personality, just making sure I've got everything I need, like all the different brushes, all that stuff. But also like I'm a man who genuinely loves a good puzzle that'll take 4 hours of an evening. And like this sounds incredibly zen, just like sitting and very slowly getting in all the nooks and crannies of a little model. That sounds like my kind of jam.
See, I do like that. I do find that quite therapeutic, but I'm also such a perfectionist that I wouldn't want me to paint it. Like I'm just like, I would be so, if I just know that if like I'd paid someone else to do it and it came out the quality that I'm capable of, I'd be pissed off. And so I would just be like, I can't, as soon as it doesn't achieve whatever vision in my head is of the thing, I'm just like, I don't want to do it anymore.
You care about D&D so much that you wouldn't inflict your taste levels.
Exactly. I would not I did think about getting a mini for my character like a long time ago, because there's quite a good website that lets you sort of like bolt bits on to like plain minis. And so I was thinking about getting one for him, but he keeps changing what he looks like, so I'd be annoyed then that this one wasn't missing the eye and had the long hair from before and it wasn't shaved and stuff. So
all right, final question: how did your character lose an eye?
He had a conversation, well, everyone else, because I took over DM for a very short period of time. We did like a 2-month break while our regular DM wrote the next section of the campaign. So I transported the rest of the party into the Feywilds, where they spent what they thought was about a month doing stuff. Turned out to be 20 years. In the 20 years, because my character didn't go with them, because I was the DM, he had been dragged away as they sort of transported over there by his goddess. And she had said, here's what's coming up in the next campaign. Basically, like there's this darkness that we're still dealing with now. Like we're literally at the point where we're about to combat like the big bad next week. So we're like right at the cusp of getting to the point that we've sort of been striving towards for the last year, I think, in D&D. But yeah, I was dragged away and she said like, blah, 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 some darkness stuff. And she was like, here's a boon for you. And while giving me the boon, it burnt my eye out. But the eye can see the future.
Ah, in like I see.
Short bursts and stuff. So it's a blessing and a curse.
What a boon.
Yes. But then obviously when everyone came back 20 years later, I was like, where the hell have you been?
sounds great. I'm very interested to know how your battles against the big bad go.
Oh yeah, me too. Because we're all almost dead. So, and it was because we're doing like a converted version of Tomb of Annihilation, which is the hardest of D&D's campaigns. It is essentially, it's designed to kill people. It was what Gary Gygax made for conventions, He originally wrote it as a convention piece because the idea would be that you could obviously get it done in a couple of hours, and also people would die, so they would drop out of the party when
I've heard. Yeah, it's, what's it called? Like a meat grinder? Is that the official term in like D&D? Mm-hmm. It's just you're there to be killed.
It's basically don't touch this, don't touch that. What? Don't put that away. Please put that down. Don't touch that. There was a fountain we found on one floor, and it was like we walked into this room and there's this resplendent, beautiful fountain with like the water refracting the beautiful light in the room and glittering, and it all looked very inviting, and we just all just went no and immediately walked out because we were just like, it's gonna be something stupid. And as we were walking away, my character turned to Luke's character and was just like, I don't know why we didn't drink from the fountain. And he was like, yeah, do you know what, went back, drank from the fountain. And it was a dice roll. And the dice roll was like, you either, I think he got healed ever so slightly on the dice roll. But the other options were you permanently switch gender, you lose all of your armor because it melts off you, you die, and something else. And it was just like, this doesn't feel like it doesn't encourage players to touch anything in the dungeon. I think that's a bit silly. Mm. That is almost too oppressive an atmosphere, because you're just like, I don't want to interact with anything in case it blows me up. Whereas I think normally you could hide that stuff. There's a risk reward strategy of like, where you can go like, this looks really dangerous, let's see what happens. But I can see a way through it. Whereas this is literally, if you touch the wrong thing at random, that also doesn't flag up what it does, or like even suggest. It doesn't even suggest what it might do. Like, we were opening doors on these cupboards yesterday, and every time you open the door on the cupboard, something came out of the cupboard. And like, the first cupboard we opened had a picture of orcs on it. We opened the cupboard and a load of orcs came out. Then it was one with a picture of a grandfather clock on it, and a little clockwork monster came out, which I hate robots, and it was tiny and it was pathetic, and I shot it immediately. And I was like, phew, guys, that was really close. And then we opened one that had like a witch on it, and then a bunch of like bugs came out of a volcano. And it's like, the pictures don't match. What are you doing? So yeah, it's been an interesting campaign, because it feels a little bit too random and insane. And it doesn't really encourage you to interact very much. And then we've also smeared every single, like, we've two combat encounters we've had recently. We fought an invisible thing. We've got this pot that makes infinite amounts of liquid. Okay. You can tell it what liquid to make. And we've been having it make mayonnaise, because we've been feeding it to our dinosaurs that we've got. But the solution to this thing, this invisible thing turned up and kept appearing and disappearing. So I chucked all the mayonnaise on it in an attempt to be like, and now we can see you wherever you go. And we killed it. And then we fought a beholder, which is like one of the more famous D&D monsters.
That's the eye with all the snakes, right?
Yeah, it's basically an eye with loads of eyes on stalks, and all the eyes fire off lasers of different types. So they do like randomized beams, and some of them are like ice, fire, lightning. Death is one of them.
Oh, God.
So I was like, oh my God, because I've read the Dungeon Master Guide. I knew that what that was and what it was capable of. I was like, what do we do? And we found this in the room, a big sheet had come off this iron ball, basically.
Just cover it in a sheet.
And we just chucked a sheet over it and then dragged it to the floor and kicked it to death.
Noble warriors.
But like, our DM was so annoyed by that plan, because he was just like, oh, this is like the most, this could have been like the most epic battle that you'd had so far. And we were like, put it in a bag and kick it. He even tried to make it break out. And as soon as it broke out, our paladin was like, blinding smite. So it couldn't fire any of its beams in the right direction. So we just gimped the beholder, which was good.
God, I hope he sets a Tarrasque on you now.
Yeah, well, I mean, what we're going to have is somebody dead at the end of this one, I think. We're definitely going to lose a character.
That's exciting.
More through. Yeah, I'm kind of like, I'm torn whether I would sacrifice my character or not for the greater good, because I'd quite like to play a new one, but I also feel like he's just getting to where I want him to be. So I would feel torn, and I would feel annoyed at having to make a new character that's a lower level, but... yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'll push someone else in the way. Let someone else take the bullet.
Yes.
I've got a week to think of it.
The heroism we've come to know you for.
Yeah, exactly. Let someone else handle that. And I'll just take the XP, thank you, and the escape. Well, that is all we've got time for on this week's edition of the NXT podcast. The Super Tuesday, in fact. So it's actually coming out on Wednesday. That's a lot of fun, which means you've got AEW tomorrow. You've got the magazine show on Friday, and you'll have SmackDown on Saturday. I think there might even be an All Out review on Sunday, depending on what happens, because there's a fair bit of drama about the All Out reaction stream and
what
the
Jam Match
Championship.
Bloody hell. Yeah.
Oh, well, we'll see. I don't know yet. So, yeah, keep your ears out for that one. We'll see you later. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.